try my Wu-Tang style.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. Use the promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport, who covers the Tennessee Titans for ESPN.com. TD, appreciate you for being here. Always appreciate your input. The Titans take the field for minicamp tomorrow. If Kevin Byard is not out there tomorrow, then what?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of reason for concern if he's not there, that's for sure. And things get a lot more murky as you try to figure out how that situation is going to be resolved. I think it's a lot of reason to, like I said, to be concerned.
Do you expect him to be out there?
I do. I think at the end of the day, he's someone that is just one of those ultimate professionals and going to look at the big picture and you know, do everything he can to be prepared for the season and to be there for the fellow players out there. So I do think that he'll be there. But like I said, if he doesn't, wow, that's a huge statement.
TD, I hear what you're saying, but it's just almost reminiscent to a former teammate of mine. And, you know, may you rest in peace. But Steve, I mean, you can't allow him on the field. Because if he gets hurt, then now you're locked into that contract, and you know you don't want to be locked into it. So obviously that whole thing, the way it transpired, happened, it shouldn't have happened that way for everyone to sort of see it. But in this situation with Byard, I almost think that they don't want him to come, in a sense, because if you've asked this man to take a pay cut, regardless of whether, you know, people out there, you know, felt it was the right thing or not, you know, whether he's still playing at a high level or not, I think he is. And that should have been the last person you should have asked to take a pay cut. But who else are you going to ask to take a pay cut other than a quarterback and a running back? And you're not going to do that. Why would you then want him to be on the field? If you've asked him to take a pay cut, he gets hurt on the field, more than likely he won't. We know that's not. But what if he does? And now you're on the hook for the whole contract, if indeed something tragic happens, like a knee injury or something?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's a different way of looking at it. I just wonder, what is their other course of action? Okay. At this point right now, you can't really trade for that much value. And then also, if you release them, like, why do it now at this point? To save whatever minimum amount that you would be saving. So it's just, like, you would think that the best course is for him to play this year and you get whatever it is that he puts out, right? And the impact that he has on the others on the team. Because I don't see what moving on from him at this point would gain them.
Yeah, you're right about that, but it's just one of those deals where it's just going to be, if he shows up, how much then will he do? If he does anything, he might be on the Jeffrey Simmons program where they just hold him out until they sort of, he's in the building, he's working out, but we're not gonna, you know, we don't want him to come out on the field and until we handle what we need to handle. The receivers again, I know that's a big talking point. Obviously, Hop is out there, and the chances of him coming here, I think, are slim. But there are other receivers that are out there. You know, people look at the list and say, well, there's no receivers out there. Well, to me, I believe there are. There's one guy in Galladay. He's had 2,000-yard seasons. He had a season where he had 11 touchdowns. He got hurt, we understand that, in Detroit, or when he went to New York. And it just, when he came off the injury, it just never seemed to work out for him with the Giants. I think Daboll was just ready to move on from him. But I don't think it really tells how good of a receiver he can be if in the right system. So do you think they should go after a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Galladay, he's what, two or three seasons removed from his last 1,000-yard performance. I think it was, what, 2019 or 2020, one of those. But, you know, he's someone that they could bring aboard as a low risk, possibly solid reward type of thing. But I think they really seem to be stuck with this group that they have and some of the things that they're going to do schematically to work with them. And it's almost like they invested so much in Burks and Okonkwo, and you know, you look at some of the other guys, or Kyle Phillips, and I think that they believe that that's going to be able to get the job done. Now, whether or not anyone else believes that is a different story, but yeah, I think they're pretty much put, unless there is something like a Hopkins or that type of acquisition that they know just well, head and shoulders, elevate their group.
Teron, give us a little bit of thought of where you think it's going with Hopkins. Where, you know, if you think there's an interest with the Titans part, let us know. But where do you think he ends up, and what kind of money are we talking?
I mean, I think he ends up with the Chiefs. That's probably like the most preferred spot for him, I would think it would be. And money-wise, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's going to be a deal with a lot of incentives in it, and I wonder if that's really what's stopping this from happening, is that teams are not willing to go as high with the guarantee and have a more incentive-laden deal, whether it's, you know, a one-year $9 million with incentives up to 12 or 13 or something along those lines. I think that's more or less where he's going to come in at.
What is the talk right now about Skoronski? It's hard for us, you know, to sit out here and, you know, say, hey, he looked pretty good in the drills that we saw, right? With offensive linemen, it's not easy. Not that it's easy even for any position. But what are you hearing about how they feel about Skoronski so far, the first impression?
Yeah, no, they're confident in just his ability to take in everything, be able to play multiple positions. You know, having him work at multiple ones is definitely a testament to where they feel. But it seems like, you know, it's kind of, all right, well, look, where he's working now, and you're seeing some of the videos, you know, he's working a lot at guard, right, because of, and you can see that in the videos, where they're all together. So they believe he's going to be a starter, but it looks like it's going to be more at the guard position. But there's still a whole lot of camp left to happen. So it's going to be interesting watching that whole thing carry out. And I mean, Dillard is going to have to make sure that, you know, he holds down that left tackle spot, because that's going to be more or less the key to them getting their best five out there.
TD is with us, Teron Davenport. Titans are out on the field for minicamp tomorrow. What are you going to be looking for, TD?
I mean, there's a lot to look for. Derrick Henry, looking forward to, I believe he's going to speak next on Tuesday, so that'll be something. But I'm going to be watching mostly the secondary. You know, I want to see if Christian Fulton makes it out there. I know he was in the building, you know, a lot last week. He checked in on Tuesday, you know, when we were on the field watching them. He checked in there. He was in the building, and he's been there since then. So watching that, see how Elijah Molden continues to work in the back end of the secondary, and Murphy Bunting, I'm going to be watching that too. So there's a lot. I mean, receivers, you want to see how these guys continue to pan out. You know, how is Kyle Phillips moving with the gained weight that he has had? Is he still quick? Is he still, you know, a shifty, creating the separation? There's a whole lot, man. Tajay Spears, continuing to see him do what he's been able to do, catching the football, showing you know, acceleration, and even, you know, Will Levis as well, right? You know, watching him get in and out of the huddle and go through the operations. And Malik Willis, you know, that's another one, because he's a lot more comfortable, and you see him just, there's a different confidence to him this year. So that's another thing to watch.
Is it because this Tennessee Titans team, as it's constructed now, we know the strength is their defense, and you know, the defense is going to more than likely have to carry them, you know, at points of this upcoming season, more than what they would probably want it to. But you know the front line is set. The defensive linemen and linebackers, they are set, and they're going to be damn good, led by Jeffrey Simmons and Denico Autry, and then Harold Landry coming back. But you mentioned Molden and Fulton, guys that have dealt with injuries. Is this that year for them to show that they can be, one, consistently on the field, but then two, consistently playmakers, especially with those guys rushing the passer?
Yeah, I think it's really important for them to do that. Obviously with Fulton, who's in a contract year, and I think knowing that, that's why he went down to Miami and was training there to work on some of the things that would hopefully for his sake help prevent him from having these soft tissue injuries that he's dealt with over the last 3 years while he was training at the Titans facility. So he's just going about a different measure, you know, to try to get different results. And I don't think you can knock him for that. It's definitely a big year because, like I said, you know, it's a contract year. You know, this is year four. He was a second-round draft pick, and a solid performance being on the field the whole time could lead to a pretty nice contract for him, whether it's with the Titans or somewhere else. And then you look at Molden, you know, this is a guy that you've seen just his role just kind of be shrink over time just because of, the, you know, the injuries and things like that. I mean, this was the nickel. Like, he was the nickel as a rookie, and then it's just kind of gone downhill from there. So it's a big year for him also to reestablish himself as a part of that secondary's future. So huge for both of them.
TD, you're the best. Appreciate you for joining us. Looking forward to your reports throughout the week of minicamp.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you. Take care.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, TD. Appreciate you for joining us. I think Kevin Byard is going to be one of the biggest stories of minicamp. If he's not there tomorrow, what will that tell us? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.